character, how they respond, how they react. If you're writing a middle grade character, he's gonna he or she's gonna respond a lot differently than a YA character will respond. So just kind of think that, like you said, you just write your book the way you want to write it, and then it will get categorized something for you. So
one of the things that I think is really important in a middle grade book is that how we might get into a situation that's tender or a little bit feels dangerous in the subject, that we come back to a place of safety, that there's no tragedy here. That's a really important thing for that age. In a YA, it's easier to do a tragedy. You can have that in a YA. But it's really important in a mid-grade book for the child to have that place of safety. And children that age like trickster stories, which is something I really like, because they use their wits, or they have water, and this one is a garden book, or it's a garden, and a lesson kind of story, because we have to bring it back to a place of safety before the end of the book, although you can approach dangerous situations.
So really the biggest difference, I think, is body count.
So let's flip the other half of the title. We talked a little bit about what's the difference between middle grade and what's the difference between young adult, but clearly this is a panel about writing young adult fantasy. So when you approach your story and you write young adult fantasy, was it a conscious choice for you as an author to say, I want to be in this space of fantasy and not write contemporary fiction, yet for young adults from middle grade? Or do you feel that the lines are blurred enough that you can write in both worlds and not just be individually identified with one or the other? So do you, when you think of yourself as a writer, do you say, I write young adult fantasy, or do you say, I write young adult regardless of genre?
I think the lines are really getting blurred with so much urban fantasy happening right now, becoming really popular. You know, my book, Ever Chasers, it takes place in our common world, but there's some miraculous, fantastic things happening to the characters. And so I think that it runs a wide range, and you just have to...
Do you think the YA space is too saturated with fantasy right now?
No.
And Tracy says no. Please elaborate.
No, I don't. No, I don't, because I think that fantasy has a great deal to offer to YA. I think that one of the great strengths in fantasy is that it teaches us who we are supposed to be, and exemplifies ideals in terms of what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, and who we ought to be. And I think at that particular age group, there is not only a need for that, but I think there's also a desire in that age group to find that for themselves and discover that for themselves, which is why fantasy, I think, has traditionally been very strong in that particular age group. It may be a chicken and egg sort of question, in that do we write fantasy to middle grade, or is it that middle grade is attracted to fantasy? When Margaret and I wrote the Dragonlance series, the initial book that we wrote was written at adult level novel. Our editor came to us and said, we've looked at this, we think you should write it, we need you to dumb it down. We need you to write to a lower level in language. And we said, no. Because we remember growing up as young adults, and we carried a dictionary around with us, and if the word didn't make sense, we had the dictionary in one hand and the other hand, and between the two of them, we discovered whole realms of words
top-level books in Dragonlance, but our readership was young adult. And actually, our readership had a huge fan. Yes, some came into our series at the age of 9, determined to read these books because of the subject matter. And yet we also had their adult, their parents who were reading them at the same time. So I think that it is a part of fantasy, if you will, that the young adult readers respond to is this quest for what is right. And so maybe it isn't so much that fantasy is for YA as YA is for fantasy.
Can I only say something? I have no numbers to back up. But Trace here, Rebecca, someone will help me here. If I just had to guess, I would say fantasy and sci-fi. If you took the 100 adult bestsellers, are you... Okay, this kind of really starts us off better. Okay. Of the top 100 adult bestsellers, if you took the percentage of fantasy or sci-fi, I'm sure it's much smaller than if you took the top 100 children's and young adult books and did the same thing. Am I right? Or no?
I do not think that's true of film and TV, but I would say in books.
Yeah.
Although people sneak fantasy into adult general adult fiction all the time and don't call it fantasy.
Yeah.
So, you know, what was it called? The Lovely Bones and Seven People You Meet in Heaven. I'm getting all these names wrong probably, but there are a whole bunch of them that have fantasy elements, but people skip over that because they're not published as fantasy.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think there's an appeal for the young in all of us to the fantasy, and I think that it still appeals as adults, but we don't necessarily look for it as often.
Yeah.
It presents itself to us.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the world building. We write fantasy, regardless if it's for adults, young adults, or middle grade. We talked a little bit about how those lines get blurred, and we all love books and stories. But if you're really going to write a fantasy world, then how do you approach your world building to make that part of your story believable? Who's done the Hickmans?
No, I'm saying something.
I know the Hickmans have done a lot of world building. I know you've done a lot of world building. Where do you guys start when you are sitting down and creating a fantasy world?
We start with a map. Actually, Tracy has a program. I can't remember the name of it. We sit down with fractal terrain, and we'll push the button until we see a bunch of continents and oceans and four islands, depending on what we think we're going to write about that we like. And so he goes, "How about this world, now? How about this world?"
Godlike thing.
But that's what we do. We start with a map, and if we don't have the large continental map to begin with, sometimes we'll draw a map of the town, which is what we did with Gannon and Nyberg, which is Granite.
In the beginning, there's this blank page, and everyone starts with that. There are seminars, long and complex seminars about world building that can be done, and it could take 6 days, we just pressed on the last one, but